Well, here I am. This is the first time I've done an introduction by myself. Normally, it's a bit of banter between myself and Rex or James, who is not here today. But I'm joined by the legend Wolfie. Thank you so much for coming over, Wolfie. You've been on the list for the captain's table for a long time now to get an understanding on cycling and also yourself being in the industry and in this area for such a long time. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for the legend and thanks for being part of this great club here with the captain's table. So I'm really enjoying to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm particularly am, like, because we talked before we started.
Yes.
And we sort of arrived in Dubai around the same time. And I think if people that were here in the early 2000s, it was quite a special time. It was. We could see the changes were about to happen. And I said to you about Wolfie's store was sort of on the outskirt of Dubai.
Yes.
And now it's near the start of Dubai.
Absolutely. There was only the Hard Rock Cafe, when yeah. people remember, which is kind of now where the greens are now on the opposite side of the street. And it really was far out, so you needed to drive over some sandy roads, and the Sheikh Zayed Road was completely different. And yeah, we had our showroom really at the end of Dubai,
yeah.
and the service road was differently, and there was a lot of sand. And I remember that one of the first days I had a car, and I got stuck in front of a hardware store. And then I had to call my neighbors to pull me out, and it was just a little bit of sand, but I got my lesson not to park somewhere where it's sandy. So yeah, it was different, but it was exciting, and a lot of good people from these times are still here, amazing. And we have good stories to share.
So let's go back a step before we get in. How did it all begin, Wolfie? How did you come to Dubai?
Yes, I'm obviously from Germany, as mm-hmm. I can hear from my accent. Mm-hmm. My brother lived here in Dubai. I have a bit of a background in hospitality, so I did some trained in hotel management. I'm a trained chef. While I was doing this, I started renting bikes to our customers in the hotel, and then I kind of started to take them to my home place. My brother had a car repair shop, so I had a little bike shop to try to make some extra income on the side. And I did this quite early, when I was like 16, 17, when I started my apprenticeship in Germany. I started selling bikes aside to my regular work, and the business grew, and I kept on working on it. And one day, obviously, I decided to go full-time into the bike business, and I had my own little shop with my brother in the car repair place. And then when I was around the age of 30, my family visited my brother here in Dubai, and yeah. we looked at the city, and we said, okay, and he said, listen, it's an upcoming city. That's a good place to come. And I thought, okay, either I stick to Germany, and I stay there, and we had a good business there, but or we take a bit of a gamble and a bit of a risk and put everything we had into one 40-foot container. Send it on the way in August. So next year we have the 20th anniversary.
Okay.
So 2022.
August 2002.
Yes, we came.
Yeah. yeah. Landed.
Yes. Obviously, you step out of the plane and you get a feel what it means to be
August,
hot.
You decided to come at the right time of the year when it was maximum heat.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then we had this showroom, actually the same showroom we have now, but it was only one partition of the showroom.
You'd already made that decision before
yes.
you arrived. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And if I remember rightly, was there any other cycling stores of any substance in the store?
There were two stores on Sheikh Zayed Road, a bit further down. There was Chippies,
yeah.
the shop where you could buy battered fish and things and chips.
Yeah.
There was one, it's Wheels from Saudi Arabia. They sold some kind of basic cargo bikes. And there was, on the other side, there was a Skechers.
Okay.
And they sold some track bicycles. And there was one in Bergemann. There was one small shop. There were a few shops doing some things.
I think I remember those. Opposite
yes.
side, pretty much on the opposite
yes.
side.
Yes, correct.
Sheikh Zayed Road. Bergemann, there was one. And then you were there.
Yes.
And then where were people cycling then?
We cycled on the routes where they built now the greens. Some roads were starting to be built. We rode
okay.
to the Hard Rock Cafe as well. There was a route. Then we cycled to Shindaga Tunnel, which was
right.
possible and at that time.
But there was traffic at that time.
Yeah, but we cycled early morning.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a subculture.
Sure.
Early morning, 5 o'clock in the morning when the roads were quiet. Then we
yeah.
went on Alain Highway towards Alain at Emirates Road was going to be built and so on. So we always find a bit of a road. Yeah, obviously we were only a group of maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 riders
oh,
at the
okay.
beginning. So it was very small. Yeah,
right.
And then obviously when you start a business, it's tough, yeah. Because the market wasn't really existing, so we really built the market.
And it was just yourself and your wife.
My wife and we took one friend from Germany, a mechanic.
Right.
And then we found one gentleman from UK who helped us working, and then one Filipino mechanic joined us soon after. And then we were going to the Masaya Plaza to do the markets. Were there on the weekend, so we went there and showed the bikes. And I drove to Abu Dhabi and in some malls. And you know what I mean? You try it. Obviously, at this time as well, it was always trying every conversation I had. I was trying to get my bicycle shop in. And when I met someone, I was trying to say, we have a bicycle shop and tell the story as much as you can. Sometimes it's a bit of a desperate move you have because you're really trying to make this work. And as well, you need to make it work. You know, I mean, if you come alone and you have no company, most people, when they move to a place, they have a company backing them up.
Mm, yeah?
For me, I was on my own with my wife, and I had our daughter.
Yeah.
And I was actually quite surprised. Obviously, you come here, you pay rent up front, you pay school fee up front, you pay your house up front, and suddenly my financial planning was not really existing anymore. So this was,
well, I mean, the banks and I mean, even still to this day, it's not really tailored for that, is
no.
it? They say, where's your monthly salary? Can we see that? Well, I don't have one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's different. Yeah.
Yes.
We're getting closer to that. But those were the tough times.
But it was good in a way. Yeah. It was good. It took us much more time to establish a business and grow our business, but we never were exposed to it. And I think if at that time the banks would have been more forthcoming and would have given us maybe big loans, and you know, I saw a lot of people growing and then falling down because they were overexposing themselves. So we spoke to banks, but they never really looked at us as a potential customer. And so we always grew organically our business, which up to today, everything is we're self-financed and we do all this, so which is good. But yeah, it took a long time. Yeah, and it was very difficult.
I guess when I think about areas where around the Meadows, Springs, Lakes area, there were starting to be tracks that were starting to come up.
Yes, the roads were just built. There was no houses, but they were building roads.
And there was, you know, there was probably a little bit. I mean, apart from obviously your main team who were doing just the average cyclist was going there. So then, this is 2003. When and we're taking a bit of a step forward, and maybe there could be something in between, but when Al Qudra, Maidan, when did, and also, what, I mean, there's so many urban myths of Sheikh Mohammed driving and then wondering what people were doing and that kind of thing. And seeing cyclists.
Yes.
Is that true? We had
the pleasure of His Highness coming to the store and looking what we're doing. And he was quite well informed. We had the pleasure to meet His Highness Sheikh Hamdan.
Yeah.
And as well in Abu Dhabi, we've been there with His Highness and seeing them and talking to them and introducing the sport. And it's obviously, we just talked about cricket, that I have no idea about cricket. And sometimes it was just like bringing a new sport to someone. I remember that I watched the Tour de France, which is just happening now, and I watched it with some friends, and there were some of the royal family, and they were abroad, and we watched it over the telephone,
Right.
So, and we were like, they were watching, I was watching in Dubai, they were watching in France, and we were discussing it. I said, what is this guy doing? Why is he? And I said, listen, wait, he will attack. And then a few minutes later, the guy starts riding, and I said, but why is he in yellow? He didn't win the stage yesterday. And I said, no, because that's this, and why is he in green, and why would they race now, and why would he not go, and why would he not do this, and this? So it's really difficult to understand. So I think we had a lot of introduction and building up to do.
So that's what happened. So it was gaining interest, got them into it, and then they said, we need to have more tracks here.
Yes, and everything starts with a bicycle. You know what I mean? It starts with somebody, a lot of people brought bikes, but then you need to repair them. You have a bike and you take it out and it's flat and you can't get a tube, then you put it back and you never touch it again.
Sure.
So it needed someone to start this. And obviously it's very difficult when it's a small small group of people. And at the beginning of when the rides were there, we were one and then two and then four and then eight and then 16. And so it started to grow and everybody brought a friend and said, hey, come, and it's really cool and we should come and you should bring your friends and this and this. And so the groups were growing.
And this was the groups before the tracks were there.
Yes, so, absolutely. So there was a lot of cycling happening before that.
And then when did the tracks?
2012.
2012.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a good 19 years in preparation for that.
For that.
And they came through, and now obviously, what have we got? 300 or 400 kilometers
yes.
of track.
Yes, yes. And it's more in plans. We're in talks with RTA, we're talking with the police. Obviously, His Highness Sheikh Hamdan said they want to make a really cycling-friendly city for Dubai and for Abu Dhabi as well. We're close working with Abu Dhabi. We're speaking a lot with them. And there's a lot of things. I think there's exciting news coming for cyclists. There's a lot of projects on the way. And there were a lot of other people helping us as well. Now, once it has a bit of a critical mass, I think then it starts that people get interested and more people jump on board and more shops have opened and so on. It was good. You know, I mean, we were happy that the scene is good. It's something you really like and you really enjoy and you see it growing. And I think we have obviously the advantage that we were the first and we started this, and it took maybe the first 5-6 years of growing something is really difficult. But we enjoy it. And I mean, it's a nice journey. And now seeing where we've become, and we're just the Tour de France is on again. And that a team from the UAE Emirates was winning last year and they're looking good again. I think that's... Sometimes I can't really believe it, what we have achieved. Obviously, my wife, my daughter, all the team. We have people with us since 15, 16 years now. Sure. With the working with us on that mission. It's fantastic.
So how big is the group now? How
80 people we have.
Wow. Working.
Yes.
So still on the one side? Yes. You've got other sites as well?
Yes, we have opened a shop in Abu Dhabi on the Formula One track.
Right.
Yeah, and we're planning another big store in Abu Dhabi, which is exciting news for maybe October, November. We will open a big store, and we are in a partnership with Abu Dhabi. That's nice since the first of this year. We are part of a bigger group, which is behind the Colnago, the bicycle brand Colnago, and behind it UAE Team Emirates. And I think that's really nice to have a support from the part of the government as well. They wanna promote it. I think we are promoting health and fitness.
Absolutely.
I think we are. It's important for your mental and your physical health when you have a group. We're just talking about you going out in the morning and walking with your friends. And I think this is what we're really offering when you have a bicycle and you have a group of friends. And we see from a lot of people, and we spoke about mutual friends we had, and I think you saw how important this was, and when they left Dubai, how strong the cycling community was. And this is something which really keeps me going every day to go to work and kind of get somebody into the group. And I've over the years now, almost 20 years, I've seen so many people coming and going from Dubai, and then they come sometimes and say, hey, I'm leaving. And you know, the Friday morning, what we do since so many years, we just stopped it now for 1 year. We started 5 weeks ago to have that ride, where like up to 150 people ride their bikes together. And I said, listen, this was the highlight of my week, and I really enjoyed it. I looked forward because I was working with my colleagues, but this was not the same group of people. And now I'm out with my buddies. And I think, especially for men, it's quite a nice thing if you have your buddies. And a lot of people say, listen, I've never been so close to a group of guys since my school days. So because this is my riding buddies, and that's your walking group, and your friends. And it's important.
How many bikes are out there on a Friday? I mean, how many?
Hundreds or thousands. Yes, it's unbelievable. Yeah. If you haven't been there early morning, so if you have never been on the cycle track in Al Qudra or in District 1, it's unbelievable. You can't believe how many people are there. Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's just, I'm standing sometimes there and I'm just smiling to myself and listen, this is great. Yeah, because I can see all the different groups, how they interact and how they talk and how people smile and laugh and exercise. And I think we're really doing something good. And that's nice if obviously business and a social service to the community is one, that makes me really proud.
And that coffee at the end at the coffee shop.
It's fantastic.
Nothing better, is
yes.
it?
Yes, if you have that sense of achievement. It's funny sometimes when we talked the other day with our team, said, we were telling people our cycling is fun. And I said, listen, really? I think most people wouldn't really think it's fun, but it's a sense of achievement. You know what I mean? Being pushed to your level best of exhaustion and this. But then later you feel like $1 million when you're like sitting with your friends and you're riding up Jebel Hafid or Jebel Jais. This is tough. You know what I mean? You're riding over an hour up a climb.
Yeah.
And it's really tough, it's especially now with the heat and everything. But once you reach that top of the mountain, it's just the best feeling ever. And if you do it with a group of friends and you stick together and you look after each other and so on, I think it's any kind of sport. You know what I mean? And we're looking after the cycling scene here, and there's lots of people doing CrossFit, and they're doing walking and running, and you know what I mean? There were lots of good people. You know all of the people who have been here doing the cycling clubs and the running clubs before, and it's nice, and they've put so much time and effort into growing these communities, and that makes the city. That makes the city livable, like Dubai. Obviously, we have a lot of other great facilities, and Dubai is providing this, and I think the leadership does an amazing job of providing us with these facilities.
But then the people... we have 2-3 months. But as you say, early morning, you can get it done. And there's nothing better when that sun's coming up in the morning.
Yes.
Coming from the thing. Now, tell me, how has COVID affected the cycling community?
See, when we all went on lockdown 2020 and the shops were closed and everybody had to stay home, that was a tough, another tough period in my business life, because obviously I had a team of, at that time, maybe like 50 people, 55 people to look after. And obviously I know obviously people are sitting at home, being insecure. That's a difficult time for leading a team. And it was for me as well, insecure. So how long is it going to take? We can sustain for a couple of months, but how long can we really sustain? Is the supply chain interrupted and so on? And luckily it was only for 3 weeks, and then businesses opened up again, and we were allowed to open up with 30%, and we had an amazing boom, and globally cycling had an amazing boom, and it's almost now to a level where it shook the industry so much, and we had so much demand that supply chain is really in problem, because obviously we had issues with supply from certain areas in the world when they were in lockdown. We had then we faced problems with, let's say, cardboard not available to pack the bikes. We had sometimes containers missing because the flow of containers around the world wasn't there anymore. So sometimes you don't see these things coming. You're in cargo as well, you know that. And then shipping prices were through the roof. We were trying
continues to climb.
Yes, we were trying to send these indoor trainers, which where you could train at home. This was at certain time last year. It was the hottest selling item in the cycling industry, but nobody could get hold of anything because everything was sold, and we were trying to ship them in. And we paid, I think, 600-700 dirhams extra for shipping one of these small boxes, and it was just crazy. But you know, I mean, again, people send us. We said, "Listen, you're lifesavers. You saved our whole family because we could get one after the other, get on the bike and train and get this energy out. And if you've been locked in for some time, obviously the energy, especially if you trained before and you want to go out and exercise. And now suddenly you have to stay at home. I think these indoor training machines was a hit.
Well, yeah, we talked about it earlier. We had Greg Boucher on a few months ago, and he was talking about how that was.
Yes,
and then we also did talk about how whether or not virtual cycling or Peloton.
Yes,
will that ever take over? And he very much disagreed with that.
Yes.
People still want that physical part. Yes. Do you agree with that?
Yes, no, absolutely. I think riding in a group and feeling actually the energy you put in and being outside. I always said it's swimming in a pool or feeling the ocean. Yeah, and feeling the wind and feeling the sea and pushing, and you really feel when the wind is blowing, you're really feeling the wind and you're really feeling, and you're riding with someone and you can really feel that battle in between people and this competition between riders and just being out there with a buddy and riding and having a good conversation and riding next to one another. I think that's something which was quite missing. And cycling, luckily, is a sport where we are fairly distanced. We have a lot of air going around, so I think it's one of the really safe sports if you're going out there with COVID related. And we see now that obviously the groups are open again, obviously with social distancing when you stop, but I think it's really working well. And globally as well, nobody wants to go public transport, nobody wants to go in the metro, nobody wants to go there, and a lot of bikes have been undusted. But it's good, you know, I mean, that's a good thing.
People go
out there, we're not burning fossil fuels to move around. It's just, and I think a place where you can ride your bike is always something which is nice. And if I go home back to Germany and I can ride my bike in the village and you see the neighbor and you say hello and this, if you're in a car, I think you're not as connected with the outside world. And it's so nice as you see other people, and I think it makes a community more livable if more people are outside. And it's just overall, people feel better when they come from a bike ride.
Well, it's globally that there's more cycling tracks are doing it. In fact, my country, New Zealand, they now have a track from the top to the bottom.
Yes, you can fantastic.
Ride. So I mean, it's global. We've obviously got the plan for Dubai 2030 to be the most livable city in the world. My feelings is it's pretty close to that already.
Yes.
I'm sure cycling will be a big part of that.
Yes.
Can you give any insight into, are we going to talk about more tracks?
Yes.
What more could you do, or what more could the city do?
We're working on apps, obviously, to make this information flow a little bit better, that people understand where to ride from where, how can I go from here to there. We have obviously just announced another cycle track on the beach road.
Yeah.
This is a great project from His Highness. We're trying to connect certain routes now within the city.
Right.
We're trying to expand this as well into other emirates to make places a bit more easy and a bit easier to access. Mm-hmm. But yeah, cycling is a big part of the whole development.
We could be looking at a completely interconnection.
Yes.
Could go from
Jumeirah Beach Hotel to Al Kudra cycle track. Yeah, that's perfect. And it's not so far away. I hope really that in the next couple of months we will connect certain things, and the RTA is working really hard. Obviously, they have a lot of other things on their plate creating the road network, and I think they've done a great job. We just talked about it in the Greens, how it was maybe like 15 years ago, and I think if people have been here, they understand what we're talking about, that traffic was really a problem, and now it's so free-flowing. And you don't have to. We're always wondering if we wanted to go to Satwa or certain places, you didn't go because you knew you're going to get stuck for an hour or two in the car. And now you can go anywhere in the city and with no problem. I think they did a great job. And I think now with His Highness's degree of saying every community needs cycling tracks, and I think it's just the matter of being physically active.
Sure.
And I think it's good for your mental state. Mm. It's good to go with the family. It's good to be out and active, because I think this will just create a happier and healthier community.
So Rex, who, as I said, couldn't be here, we love the Maidan track. And we're not the fastest.
Yes.
We enjoy it.
Yes.
We talk a lot.
Yes.
And probably enjoy our coffee the end more.
Very good.
How about if somebody's here, they want to get into cycling?
Yes.
I mean, we all hear probably more on the higher levels of what you can pay for a bike, which is probably quite a lot.
Yes, yes.
How could I, if I just arrived in Dubai, for example, how could I get into a club? How could I get a bike? That kind of thing. Apart from going down to Wolfie's, of course, which would be the first place to go.
The best place.
Yes, of course.
Yes. I think it's just a matter of what you want to do. If you just want to go out exercising, I think a bike between 2,000, 3,000 dirhams, like a leisure mountain bike type, where you can go like almost like an SUV kind of bike. You can go anywhere in the community with your family. Instead of walking your dog, you're riding with the bike, you bring your kids to school and so on. That's kind of bike. And a racing style bike would say maybe 5,000 to 6,000, 7,000 dirhams. Mm-hmm. It's a good bike to start. You can obviously rent a bike.
You can do that.
Yes, we have rental bikes as well. I think obviously it's quite important to get it properly adjusted, especially if you're going to spend 1, 2, 3 hours on a bike, then you want to have everything optimized. We, for example, with all the bikes we're selling, we make a body analysis. We take a laser measurement of your bone structure. We adjust the bike. We make sure that the bike really fits you, because obviously we always tell people, you buy shirts and you have maybe from one brand you wear a small and next one a medium and the next one a large, and it's really confusing what is the right size and what's the right setup. But I think if you go to a shop and they give you a wide range of products, and they adjust the bike properly, and then you get started, and then the rest of it is kind of, you need some water, you need maybe some energy drinks and whatever if you really go for maybe 2 hours and more, but then go with your buddies and find a group.
Great.
Or start a group, get like you had your walking group, and you get a few guys out, and then go and ride, and there's so many things to explore. And if you haven't been really out there in the morning, we just talked about it as well, you go to the beach and you see the sunrise or the sunset. People miss this, then they haven't seen everything in Dubai. And going to Ras Al Khaimah and going to Jebel Jais, and we have some good videos on our YouTube channel where we took videos to showcase this to people, because they have never seen that Ras Al Khaimah has such a beautiful mountain scenery, and riding up a climb like this is fantastic. Then obviously beyond that, taking the bike on holiday, going to Europe, going anywhere around the world, and exploring a place by bicycle is completely different than a car. So that's the next step.
We'll put the link on the bio for Wolfies, and we'll make sure that anybody can contact you guys directly if they're looking to get into it.
Yes.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about your future developments and plans. You've mentioned Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
But then you've also said you have even bigger plans than that.
Yes.
Can you give us a little overview of
obviously
that?
Obviously, with now our cooperation we have with Abu Dhabi, and it's a really positive move for us, for the company, for the people working for us. So we said we want to expand, and we obviously want to kind of spread that passion for cycling in other countries as well. So first of all, it's obviously the UAE, and the next big step is for us Abu Dhabi to really cover that market and make sure this is good taken care of, because obviously UAE is our home base, and we have a plan for Hudairiyah, which is a sports island in Abu Dhabi, which is next to it. There's a cycle track as well, and there's cycling tracks.
It's an island.
It's an island, yeah, but it's right next to Abu Dhabi on the left-hand side of Abu Dhabi. Quite a big island where you can ride your bike, and this is where we're going to have our headquarters.
Because at the moment it's just at the Grand Prix.
Yes, which again is an unbelievable. If you haven't been there, it's just so much fun to be on a Formula One track. It's just fantastic to see the track, and especially if you go in the evening, maybe you catch the daylight and you see the track and you can experience everything. And then the light goes to, obviously it gets dark, and then they switch on the light. You feel like Michael Schumacher or Nico Rosberg and something going around and getting a feel for that track, you know what I mean? See the distance and see, and imagine that they go with 300 kilometers an hour down the road, and then you see the corners and so on. Really good fun. And there's hundreds and thousands of people on the days they're open. And again, it's fantastic how
so the popularity levels are. Abu Dhabi is same as Dubai.
Yes,
that's great.
I think again it needs the better we can take care of a market, and the better we can supply, and the better we can help. And obviously a lot of people really, we got some super nice messages from people that say, oh, we're so happy that Wolfies is now in Abu Dhabi as well, because a lot of people travel still to Dubai to do the shopping, to get the service we offer. That's something we really try to do as good as we can, really helping people with everything. And as well, from a kid's bike for like 1,000 dirhams, 800, 900 dirhams, kids bikes up to obviously the expensive bikes. But I think the team is really trained well and gives good information to everyone. But then once Abu Dhabi is covered, we're planning obviously other countries as well. Obviously we see a big market in Saudi Arabia. We see other GCC countries.
I was just going to mention that. I mean, what's happening there at the moment?
I think obviously the market has opened quite a bit, and I visited Saudi Arabia, and the first thing I saw was a few females on bicycles riding along a Corniche road when we visited some of our partners, and I thought this is fantastic.
That
really shows that everything is opening up, and I think and what I loved about it was just like you could see they were not really well trained and they never really rode a bike, but you know when I heard them laughing and I saw them giggling and I saw them just having fun riding a bike, and that's maybe the best part about it. Just going along the Corniche and being out there and being active and enjoying themselves on a bike. There were two females, one male was with them, and they were just riding and having a good time. And that was just fantastic. Just seeing, okay, that's good. I think we're doing something good. We're providing bikes, and obviously this can only happening if you have a bike,
right? Sure.
And if you have somebody to look after, adjust it, fix it. If you have a flat tire, pump up your tire, put a bit of lube on your chain. And if this is happening, then everything else comes with the time. Once we have provided the options to get something.
No, exactly. I mean, all roads are. There's so much growth in Saudi at the moment.
Yes.
And I mean, you can just see exactly where it's going on.
Yes.
I'm presuming we're also talking about Oman.
Yes.
Qatar.
Yes, beautiful place to ride your bike.
Yes.
Oman, very hilly, so it's quite challenging. But I've been there over the last couple of years, and we have some good partners there. But we want to help them, and we want to grow the market. And again, we want to just spread the word with cycling and make sure that everyone has access to bikes and to service and to accessories and everything to make sure it's working.
Good. With the upcoming expo, is there any connection with cycling?
There is some events, and we are thinking about the German pavilion. We have been approached to do something with the German pavilion to present the sport. Obviously, Germany is as well leading with a lot of technology when it comes to cycling as well. And I think we're gonna showcase some things. There's events we're planning, cycle events during the expo. We're quite excited. I think that's gonna be an amazing 6 months. We're gonna have.
It's October's going to come up quick.
Yes. And Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest.
Bringing Oktoberfest
now, this
as well.
Now, this is official, is it? We can hear this from... Yeah. You can confirm this 100%?
Not officially,
Ted is talking about it.
Very good.
He loves the beer.
I think so. Yes, I've heard it. Yeah, no, but why not? I think they can bring it over and have people here and show some of our German culture.
Yeah, right.
And then for 6 months, it's good. I think we have always had Oktoberfest. So I'm thinking back every time in October, a lot of hotels had it, and we had some good places. And I think that's good. And I think the people from New Zealand really enjoy coming to Munich.
Well, I don't know if the people from Munich like the New Zealanders coming here so much, but so they enjoy themselves.
Yes, very much. Yes.
So, moving on, as we see the future, when I look at biking, like the Karim bikes are now there. I mean, where, if you had your crystal ball, where are we going to in the future for it? Apart from your own bikes, is it going to be point-to-point where you can just take a bike and just move it on? Where do you think we're going with it?
Yes. I think, obviously, with all the data, mobile phones and access it, and being accessible everywhere and having to know where the bike is, and like we see in other big cities that you can take a bike, and we know that Abu Dhabi has big plans to connect and have cycle tracks all around the city that you can take a bike. Obviously, as you said, it's 3 months in the summer, it's a bit challenging, but other than that, if you find a way and you make it easy enough for people, I think a few of the things are missing in buildings, that we have a parking space for bikes, and you have maybe shower facilities and change rooms, which I think is a bit more. I think it's not only the cycle track which needs to be there. I think it needs to be as well the facilities in the building. So sometimes it's difficult if you park your bike in there. At the moment, we're catering for cars, but I think we need to change a little bit the concept as well with others. And I think you need to have that. We're working on with the government on an app, cycling app, that people could see, okay, I can go from here, and that's the way, like Waze and stuff. But
and where you could potentially get changing rooms.
Yes, correct.
Like the Maidan setup.
Which is great. I think at the moment, it is like you take your bike, you put it in a car, you go somewhere, you unload it, you go riding, and then you have a shower facility, and the shower facility is in B1 or on the DX bike cycle track, and then there's one in Maidan, and then in Al-Qudra. You have two places where you can have a shower, and it's really good, it's well maintained. You can go, and then you go to work, and you have your bike in the car, and I think that's something as well unheard of in the world. We have a lot of people, cycling professionals, they're coming to ride their bikes, and when we're in District 1 and they're riding there, it's funny how they take pictures, and you think, you have been around the world everywhere, or even the cycle track in Al-Qudra. They said, this is so cool, that you have a track for 200 kilometers to ride your bike, and it's just in the middle of the desert, and it's just something special for them as well.
Do you think we could, we love to bring guests and events to here, and obviously, please educate me on this. We have the international event that happens every year.
Yes.
Is there any way we could make a potential Middle East type of Tour de France scenario here? Is there anything that could bring more cyclists here?
My dream was always, when they built the Palm, so the first thing I said, how cool would this be if we start a prologue? So normally the Tour de France is the first day where they have a time trial, or the Giro d'Italia, and you would think, okay, if somebody would ride a road, and then the helicopter would move out, and you would then see the Palm. And I thought this would be cool, and I think that would just be promoting. But obviously it's very difficult because most of the cycling events are in the summer when it's very hot here. That's why they moved the UAE Tour at the beginning of the season. But I think UAE made a big name for themselves by winning last year the event, and having now a very successful team at the start line.
Is the team, and I should know this, but is it international?
Yes, it is.
Is the Emiratis in the team as well?
Yeah, we have an Emirati. Actually, a few minutes ago, I just was with him on our own little talk show, Yusuf Mirza.
Yeah.
A great story from him about how he grew up, how he fell in love with the sport, with his brother, and just an amazing story. If somebody's interested.
How long ago did he start?
He actually said that he was in our store maybe like 15, 16 years ago when he was a little boy.
Right.
Yeah. So he told us a story when he was he is from Kofar Khan, and he wanted to go train with his brother, and his older brother went for training, and they picked him up, but he couldn't go, and he said he was crying a lot because his brother was allowed and he wasn't. And then one day he took him, and then he was when they rode the bike, everyone got a little juice after the ride, just to replenish some energy. And I said, who is the strongest gets two juice. And he told us that story, and I said, listen, I was racing the hell out of, I was just going as fast as I could just to get that second juice, because normally I didn't get the juice. And so these stories are nice. And I grew up, and we were just talking because we expanded the shop quite a bit, and He said, I remember the first time I came to the store, when how it was and how the building was and so on. We just had a nice conversation. But yeah, he's a good ambassador. I think we need, like everything, I think we need a few inspirational people in the community. And we just had actually a nice conversation, and we were planning a little bit ahead and said, listen, the inspiration, if he's going to schools and he's doing a lot of good work there, going visiting schools, Emirati schools, and I think sometimes people have, they don't have the vision, they don't see. He's going now to the Olympic Games. He was already in the Olympic Games in Rio. Cycling.
Which part?
He is from Kofar Khan.
Which event of cycling?
Cycling. The road race. He was in the road race.
Right.
And I said, listen, you need to tell this story to the local to the local community, because they don't believe that somebody can make it in cycling to the Olympic Games. But you know what? You did it, and you made this happen. And I think if people can, and I think sometimes we maybe underestimate the effect a real idol and a real hero has to children. And I think we need to be heroes for our children, and we need to go out and show them that's possible. And I think he could be absolutely the face of UE cycling for the next couple of years. His brother's into the sport and so on. So I'm really excited that
we'll be following him for Tokyo.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, and his training was everything was done in the UAE? He didn't go away, or... Yeah.
Funny, we talked about this as well. So listen, obviously everything here happens with good weather, and the racing scene in Europe is different. Yeah, it's stronger. There's a lot of people. The training structure is different and so on. So always they go in the summer. They went for a couple of months to Europe to get this training. Is different. Even if you come from America, if you're an American cyclist, if you want to make it, you need to go to Belgium, and other European countries, Italy. The racing is a completely different beast there.
Right.
Yeah. And then you go there and train with them. And he said, listen, sometimes people don't understand how it is to ride up a climb in rain and cold. Yeah. And then go on the other side down again. Yeah. And it's like, here we're riding in the sun and it's a bit of wind. But that is not what you face as a pro cyclist. Yeah. We were just talking about it, about how is life as a pro cyclist. Yeah. And he said, yeah, sometimes it's nice and sometimes it's extremely challenging because this environment.
We never have any bad days.
Yes, we don't have. Yes,
if it's raining,
Yes, and sometimes if you're a good cyclist here, that doesn't mean you're a good cyclist out there. So that's why I think that we need to make sure that obviously the competition is brought here, or we have to go there. Yeah. But again, that connects the nations, connects the people, and that there will be a great exchange. And I think we have really a good potential to grow the sport. And I think there's a lot of talent here, but obviously it needs to be fostered, and we're looking after that.
As you say, it's going to happen anyway.
Yes.
Now you've got one or two role models.
Yes.
It'll continue on.
Yes.
And it takes it on. You mentioned Tour de France. I noticed there was a little accident a couple of days ago.
Yes. You know, when somebody was holding a sign, it seems there was a German lady holding up a sign, but I'm not sure. It's not confirmed if she was German, but it was.
Well, she
it
said Opa and Omi.
Yes, they're looking for her.
How does that happen?
Yeah, I think she got overexcited and wanted to put the sign out, and obviously very bad. You know, I mean, one of the riders who abandoned, one of the first riders from my hometown in Germany. I know the family; they have a bicycle shop there. Obviously, a big story that he made it to the Tour de France, and the first day because of a sign held up, and Tony Martin as well is a good friend and one of our guests on our podcast, and he came down and he took almost the whole field down, and very very bad and. Yeah, this is not what you want to see. I mean, the Tour de France, 21 days of riding is hard enough.
Was there any bad injuries?
Yes, a few people abandoned, so they had injuries and they couldn't continue. I mean, if you fall with 40, 50 kilometers an hour on tarmac, especially in a big group and you hit each other and so on, so it's very easily to get. We saw Garen Thomas dislocate his shoulder and just popped it back in. I think, I don't know, maybe rugby would be a sport where you get hit as hard and you stand up again.
I think
and
if you come off a bike at 90, 100 kilometers an hour, it would hurt.
It hurts, and you slide over tarmac. I think grass is one thing, but I think sliding over the surface of a street and hitting something... It's tough, and so we saw. I'm always excited to see the first week of the tour, and I'm excited to see who's there. But the first week normally has crashes because we're riding on a flat. It's very fast.
Sure.
Everybody wants to show they are in the best shape of their life, and then you know how much it takes to be prepared.
Yeah.
But then if you see these guys crashing, it's painful. It's very hard. But we saw Mark Cavendish. Winning. And that's obviously a fantastic story to have a few years where you, due to injury and not feeling well and maybe other issues, almost being written off. Yeah, right. And then he wasn't even selected for the tour team, and he wasn't sure. And a few weeks ago, a few days ago, he got the message he's in.
Yeah, right.
And then paying back the team like this, and you could see how emotional he was about this. And obviously, I was super excited to see him win. He was an ambassador for Abu Dhabi, and he was here a lot of times, and I had the pleasure to meet him and get to know him a little bit. And so a real nice guy, and now winning again. He won in Tour of Turkey, four stages, beginning of the year, but winning in the Tour is again a different level, and super excited and super happy for him that this is happening.
So out of all your experience, all your years, who's the cyclist that I'll go back to my rugby player with Richie McCaw or some player, like who's the cyclist that you think of when you think of the best of the best? Sorry to put you on the
spot. No problem. Eddie Merckx, obviously, is always somebody people would say is one who won 34 stages. So Mark is now with 31 stages he won, but obviously Eddie Merckx won everything. Mm. He's a little bit out of my era because I came a little bit later, so I think era Merckx was over, so I was never really as much involved in this. Obviously, Jan Ulrich is a big... he was maybe my inspiration, and Eric Zabel.
Yeah.
These are some German heroes. Marcel Kittel, good friend.
Without putting you on the spot, because it's not a discussion and sort of the elephant in the room for somebody who doesn't know cycling like you, Lance Armstrong.
Yes.
What's your feeling about him?
He was here a couple of weeks ago. A couple of months ago. He was here for an event during COVID. Maybe it was 2020, maybe 2021. I'm trying to be as honest as I am, as my private person, and I'm trying to be clear with everything. And I think if somebody betrays, even so if other people betray as well, and you cheat, and it doesn't get better because other people are cheating as well. So I think you have to make a decision for yourself in life, and you say, listen, I can't do that sport because other people are cheating, but then you either do something about it or you step out. But you can't justify your cheating because everybody else is doing it. That's not me. Yeah. You have to live with yourself and can somebody be forgiven for what is done? Yes. It's not me. I'm not the person to judge him, but I'm just saying for me that's not an option. I think you need to hold on to your own integrity and you know what's right and what's wrong. And I think we set a wrong signal, and I hope really I'm a very maybe sometimes a bit a naive guy, but I wanna have this sport cleaned up because I think we set a wrong signal. If every young person who starts riding said, "You can only be successful if I take banned substances and I do something which is not allowed," and even for the mental pressure you have, if you know you do something, you know. I mean, I think we've all done stuff maybe in life where we know it wasn't the right move, and what a burden.
We cut corners.
Yes, we cut corners, but then you feel that burden. You feel it for a long time until really you can clear. Yeah, in a way, I'm happy for him that he got caught, but I think maybe his life is better now because he could come clean.
I believe so too.
Because you don't want to live with this all your life, and I cannot imagine how it is to win 7 titles and knowing that everything was based on. I think you can only justify it when you say everybody else was taking it. And I'm really sorry again for him, for Jan Ulrich. I'm sorry for them that they had to do it. Yeah. I'm not judging them. I'm not angry. I'm more sad that the environment was set like this and they needed to get into this. But I think at the end of the day, they made the decision. And I think what he did above and beyond was, I think he was very harsh and bullying people. I think that's again another level. When it goes to people who work with him and came clean and he said, "No, you're lying," and he really ended a career, and there's this whole story that he was so dominant. But again, I think sometimes we lose ourselves having that strength and being such an icon and all these when they got challenged and he was so clear, and I think in his mind I think he was clear that he didn't believe that he was doing wrong.
I've heard that before. If you believe something enough,
and you tell yourself,
if you tell yourself enough that I'm doing the right thing,
and everybody else is doing it and I'm not doing worse, and maybe again to be fair, I think being then with everybody takes the same, and then you're on the bike, and I think he really trained a lot and he was really training hard and he was taking this marginal gains and he looked at everything, and I think he's a on top of it maybe a very gifted athlete in what he did for the cancer and everything, so he did a lot of good things in life. So I'm not the person to judge him. I didn't go to see him.
And that was a personal choice?
Yeah. Okay. And I felt like I'm not sure about it. Yeah. I I said maybe.
The way you've responded to it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the best summary I've yes. heard of the whole thing.
Yes. Mm. I try to live my life with a lot of integrity, and I exactly. try to be honest, and that's. I always tell my team, listen, I'm 50 now, so I don't have the chance to build my career again. I hope I make it to 100, but I think it will be difficult to rebuild a reputation.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm very aware about this, and I'm very yeah. conscious, and it's important to me. Maybe other people don't think like that, but for me, this is something I would never.
I agree.
I try my very best to be a good person. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all we can do.
Yes.
The way we always love to summarize the captain's table
yes. is
a little bit about Dubai.
Yes.
You've come here. Tell us a little bit about why you love Dubai. What's the parts you like? Maybe even some of the parts you don't like quite so much.
Yes.
But just a little snapshot of Wolfie's Dubai.
I think the biggest thing was obviously coming here, having the sun, having the environment, which was created by His Highness to strive and grow a business. The opportunity I had here was, I wouldn't have had the same opportunity in Germany, because in Germany we have lots of good bicycle stores and so on. And then after a while, when I came and had my small business, and I could see it's growing, and then I could see the impact I have on a community. And now I think whatever will happen, I will leave something behind. I've started mm-hmm. something, and I was one of the first to start yep. the cycling groups and so on. And I said this to Yusuf today. So listen, nobody will take this ever away from you. You were the first one in a team. You're the first one. He won mm-hmm. 11 times. He's the first and most successful UAE cyclist we had. And I think this will, nobody can take this ever away from me. And I'm so happy that I have something which nobody yeah. can really take away from me. And I left a bit of a footprint. And I think now yeah. when you get older, you're 50, you think, okay, what will people say about you once you're not there anymore? And I think when hopefully people speak about us and our business and my family yeah. and all the people and say, hey, this is the guy, there was one guy, and yeah. I remember what was his name? Oh, maybe it was Wolfie, yeah. and he started this cycling thing, and he was very passionate about it, and I think he did a lot of good things. This is an opportunity I had, and I'm very grateful and thankful, and I'm really grateful every day to be able to go to my business, to do what we're doing. I have an amazing team. Yeah. I have an amazing wife who helps me. My brothers are here. I have two brothers here. I have the cycling community Friday morning when we have these rides, and I'm out there and I'm riding with 150 people on my bike mm. and I see how happy they are. And I think that's good. I'm in a good place in my life, and we've worked really hard for it. But again, I think everything in life you achieve is hard work.
Yeah.
And the harder it is, sometimes the more you enjoy it. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to buy, and now Abu Dhabi and the UAE has presented us, and we're not finished.
No.
Again, I'm very excited to take this
like
further.
It's just
yes.
beginning.
Yes.
But I mean, thank you so much for coming in today.
No, thank you for having me.
It's a great story.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, I've been wanting to hear the story for a while, and you've closed a lot of the gaps that I didn't know. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thanks. Great what you do. Thank you very much.